Isaiah 6, verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then he said, 'Here am I.' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" I'm not a preacher. I have a story to tell, and you'll see that in a few minutes. But I thank you all for the support and the partnership you have given us over the year. I think it's been about 15 years now that we have been supported by you all here. And we see our work as an extension of this church over there. I was recently asked the question, I guess the person thought I was getting old enough to have learned something from 24 years on the mission field. He asked me what I have learned. I said, when I look back over the years, two principal areas stood out. And I would dwell mainly on these issues. But first of all, let me share you a few things of what we have learned over the years. First of all, God uses unusual circumstances to show his mercy. Just this past year, I had the opportunity to work to operate on three little kids, 3- and 4-year-old kids, who had burns, third-degree burns, over 10 to 30% of their bodies. They were skinny little things, and trying to find skin to cover them was a major challenge. But when I walked into the room, they would smile at me in a way that was so endearing, so improbable, so out of place from the suffering which they were going through, that I saw it as the hand of God working in those kids' lives. And they all left the hospital playing and happy and running around. It was through God's grace that we were able to help those children. Number two, God can use anyone. Even the unsuited. As I remember it, after winning 9 of the 10 possible highest academic awards at the high school I graduated from, I was called into the principal's office. He said, "Dan, you're smart, but you have a speech impediment, and you will never amount to anything." I have never forgotten those words. I never forgot the guy's name, Mr. Blankenship. And then 15 years later, I was finishing my surgical residency. And I was the chief resident. I thought I was an excellent surgeon, and I knew I was. But I was called into the director's office, and he said, "Dan, you're a great surgeon. But because of your speech problem, you will never pass your surgical boards." They were oral, of course. 15 years later, God, however, thought otherwise. He could and wanted to use me. He proved these two wise people wrong. God led me to choose a field where I have to get up here and talk to you all. And as a board-certified surgeon, we are now running the most respected, one of the busiest hospitals in the country of Zimbabwe. People come through us from all over the country, from the country around Zimbabwe to Karanda. And it's no easy task to get there. As he said, we are 30 miles from the nearest town on dirt roads that, I'll tell you later, that they've now been fixed, but they were almost impassable without a 4x4. But they come to us anyhow. Julie didn't want to be a school teacher. She likes her grandkids, but anyhow, Lord led her to be a teacher. And some of the kids, all the kids have gone to higher education that she has taught. One's now training to be a surgeon in Madison, Wisconsin, and hopefully we'll be back working at Karanda in the next few years. Moses and Jeremiah also weren't the world's best speakers. But we know how God used them. And God can and wants to use you as well. At our church in Michigan this past Sunday, the preacher echoed my words when he said, if you say yes to God, he takes you to places you never expected to go and use you in ways you never possibly imagined. So I urge you today to say yes to God. God shows his power frequently if you look for it. We see medical licenses that take 3 to 6 months to get, showing up for our short-term doctors in 2 weeks. Impossible, but it's happened. We see containers arriving on the coast of Mozambique, having to be transshipped across Mozambique, across Zimbabwe to the capital city, and then offloaded and then transported out to Karanda, having to have papers cleared, having to have permits from the Ministry of Health, from ZIMRA, the IRS out there in Zimbabwe. Impossible, but they arrived 3 times. They've arrived at Karanda in 2 weeks from arriving at the port in Beira, Mozambique. Impossible, but possible with God. This happened 3 times, not just once. Urgently needed supplies that were not on the shelf. We were out of betadine completely. We had to have it to do operations. So I sent my anesthetist down to the storeroom once more. I said, just go and look. Maybe it's hidden behind the bottle. He went down there. In the middle of the shelf was a gallon jug of betadine. 2 weeks later, we were out of it again. I said, just go look one more time. Gallon jug of betadine sitting on the shelf. 2 weeks later, we had a shipment of betadine arrived at the hospital. But God does work miracles for us. We had a gal sitting outside my operating room with a huge mandibular tumor. It was sitting out, basically out here. I said, that's more than I can possibly handle. Unfortunately, up walks down the pathway, we're kind of up it's a two-story building with theaters, walks the surgeon from Canada. I had no idea he was going to be there. He was an ENT specialist specializing in mandibular surgery. He spent 4 hours, taught me valuable techniques, and cured this gal. Yet God does show his mercy and grace, and his miracles happen all the time out there. You've got to look for them, but he does show his miracles to you. God is never late. Many of you know that my father came back when I went out there on the mission in 91. My father joined me after retiring here in 95, and he worked with me for the next 16 years. And up until the time he was 83, we really wanted somebody else to come out and help him, allow him to go home and enjoy his retirement. But he felt obligated to stay until we had somebody. But in 2012, it was time for Dad to leave. And a month before that, he had finally agreed to retire. We had a surgeon show up at Karanda. He had been in Zimbabwe for 17 years, working at a different hospital, had some problems there that I won't go into, but wonderful surgeon, and he came to Karanda. He's an OBGYN, a field we didn't have expertise in, so he joined us, but he also does everything else too there. So he's been with us for the past 3 years now. God was never late. He doesn't often come early, but he's never late. We had a surgeon this past year. My father was always there to cover my furloughs, but this year he was retired. So who was going to cover for this year on home assignment? Well, we had a surgeon arrive 2 or 3 months before we were to come, and she's spending this next year and a half or 2 years at Karanda. We needed a school teacher for Julie. Sure enough, we had a school teacher show up, and it's going to spend most of the year out there helping us. We actually got a missionary out who's going to head up the maintenance department. He was not qualified and he suffered a bunch of health issues. So we put a national who didn't want the job in place, but he's done a work that no missionary could possibly do as head of our maintenance department. He's actually getting the guys to work, which we had a hard time doing. So yeah, it was God finds the people who you need at the right time. That's my father's getting his retirement and the surgery crew. God gives ability. I was a general surgeon. Today, I do all kinds of other surgeries. You can see on the board there what we can do. God gives ability and boldness that you never knew you had. When I think of some of the things God has allowed me to do in surgery, some of the places he has put me, some of the ways he has used me, I shake my head and wonder. I think too of a primary school. As I mentioned, Judy didn't want to be a teacher, but her kids have gone places that we were amazed at. Okay. God provides the means to get the work done. You can do a lot of things, but you can't do it all. But yet God provides those to come alongside you to help. Whether national in Zimbabwe, a patient happens to run the road department for the country, who saw the knee when he came to Karanda for his surgery. He said, these roads are horrible. And he sent out his graders and graded all the roads within 20 kilometers around our station. They had desperately needed it, and he knew that. But it was just a patient who happened to come to Karanda for our help and saw the need here. We have the head of the utility department for the country, lives just across the river, looking at Karanda. Whenever he's there, he sees our lights are out. You know, he sends us power, much more power than we would normally get from the national power grid. At times, it's a short-termer who's out there who shouldn't have come. He wasn't ready to come. But when he came back after finishing his orthopedic surgery training, he was a different person. And he helped us and the hospitals in town establish a wonderful orthopedic program at Karanda. An NGO who, they do work all over the world, but they've taken a special interest now in Karanda. And they really have helped us get short-termers, get supplies, do things. God makes the way possible for us. God does not make the way easy. We have difficulties in getting medical licenses, in getting work permits, in getting shipments cleared, in getting building approvals, and even official registration for the hospital. But the work goes on. We've been there for 55 years now, and God provides a way, and he is very, very patient. But today I want to spend some time on commitment and prayer. Commitment. Rick Warren gives a few comments about commitment. He says that your commitments can develop you or they can destroy you. But either way, they will define you. He says, tell me what you are committed to and I'll tell you what you will be in 20 years. We become whatever we are committed to. Jesus calls us and we respond, come and be my disciple. Jesus said to him, so Matthew got up and followed Jesus. Matthew 9:9. When the first disciples chose to follow Jesus, they didn't understand the implications of their decision. They simply responded to Jesus' invitation. And that's all you need to get started. Decide to become his disciple. Commit to becoming his disciple. And don't look back. Many are afraid to commit to anything and just drift through life. Others make half-hearted commitments. And this leads to frustration and mediocrity. Others make a full commitment to worldly goals, such as becoming wealthy or famous, and end up disappointed and bitter. Every choice you make has eternal consequences. So you had better choose wisely. Peter warns us that since everything around us is going to melt away, what holy godly lives we should be living in 2 Peter 3:11. Christ-likeness is the result of making Christ-like choices, depending on his spirit to help you fulfill those choices. Paul says to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Rick Warren further points out that Christianity is not a religion or a philosophy. It's a lifestyle and a relationship with Christ. The core of that lifestyle is thinking of others, as Jesus did, instead of ourselves. In Romans 15:1, it says, we are strong, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good and to build him up. A ministry in Zimbabwe is all about helping others, helping them to regain their health, to learn new skills, and to lead them to a new life in Christ. What I have learned is that many people today are afraid of commitment. As a child, I wrestled over and over again with the desire to know God's will for my life. I felt that He made each one of us for a distinct purpose, that He had a task for each one of us to follow. As a teenager, I wrote an angry letter to the team headquarters, to the chairman of our mission, asking why they wouldn't send someone to help my father. When he arrived, he was going to be one of three doctors. Within 2 months of us being there, he was by himself, and he was by himself for the next 7 years. I never saw him. He was always busy at the hospital. We were away at school part of the time, too, of course. But God impressed upon me, so I asked the mission, why don't you send somebody? But he made me understand that people can't just go up and go to the field. Doctors here are busy in their practices. But he made me understand that since I was raised overseas, that I was uniquely qualified to go back as a missionary doctor. So I told God that if he would allow me to become a doctor, I would give him 10 years of my life. And the rest, of course, is history. What has God asked you to do? Have you asked him what his plan is for your life? Are you afraid to commit? Do you trust God? Basically, is God trustworthy? And God doesn't ask, is it safe? Is short-term enough? Isaiah 6:8 says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And is God asking you that question? What will your reply be? Jesus, Isaiah replied, here am I, send me. At Kronda, we have had many short-termers. We've had medical students, nurses, and doctors. We have had hundreds come and go. Every year, we have about 100 short-termers. We've been there for 24 years, so you do the math. Two have come back to help us out at Kronda. They all see the need. They all appreciate the work that there is to do, but the commitments are elsewhere. Did I miss my calling? Should I have just made multiple trips, short-term trips to Kronda? If so, it wouldn't be to Kronda. Kronda wouldn't be the hospital it is today. It would have been a government facility staffed by junior doctors doing the obligatory 6 months medical obligation, whatever, to the hospital. I mean, God may have sent someone else to the field, to the hospital. But throughout the country of Zimbabwe, most mission hospitals are closed today, or they have these junior doctors doing the work there. The missionaries have all gone. But I am glad that I made the commitment to go. I am glad I have had the opportunity to touch the lives of tens of thousands of people. I am glad that I have seen hundreds, if not thousands, come to a faith in Christ. I am glad that I have been used as a tool by God to heal the broken bodies of many, many people. God did not say it was going to be easy. He wants people who are committed to Him. God has blessed us in many, many ways. I cannot say for a moment that I envy my partners here in the U.S. who haven't gone to the field. They do short-term trips. But God didn't call them to go, I hope. But God calls each one of us to a unique life. I pray that you earnestly seek His will for your life and then make a commitment, an unwavering commitment. He will bless you as He has blessed us. And as I so often preach to the people around Kronda, this life is only a blink in time. The future, eternity, awaits us. I trust your life will be a source of fond memories for the life to come. And then prayer. Prayer can and will change you. In a recent devotional, the author points out that people who are desperate pray. They pray without thinking about it. They pray even if they are not sure who they're praying to or if anyone out there is listening at all. People in foxholes pray. People who go through divorce pray. People who have children who run away pray. Or if they hear a doctor saying that the growth is malignant, they pray. But when we reach the end of our resources, we pray instinctively, reflexively, like a man lacking oxygen, gasp for breath. The way a man who is falling reaches out to grab anything he can get his hands on. And it's not bad to pray in times of crisis. And one of God's amazing attributes is that He listens to people when they pray in sheer desperation. even when they've been ignoring him for years. For many people, prayer is only used in times of crisis, or is used in a routine fashion at mealtimes, or when heading off on a trip. In most ordinary moments, we are not convinced that prayer really changes things. Many people believe that their prayers won't change God's actions. So they ask themselves, what is the point of praying? As Dallas Willard puts it, the idea that everything would happen exactly as it does, regardless of whether we pray or not, is an interrupting heaven specter that haunts the minds of many who sincerely profess belief in God. It makes prayer psychologically impossible, replacing it with dead ritual at best. We believe that God wants us to pray. We read that God yearns for fellowship. We understand that he misses the daily walks in the garden with Adam and Eve. But we know that he is sovereign, so vastly more powerful and incomprehensible and unimaginable that we don't feel worthy to talk or walk with him. We are thankful that he saved us. We know that he is orchestrating the world according to his plans. So then why should we bother to pray? But let's look at the 8th chapter of Revelation. There it says that John is describing a scene in heaven that the seals have been broken on the scrolls and tells the story of human sin and violence and God's judgment. Then John writes that there was silence in heaven for half an hour. Angel with a golden censer comes to the altar and offers incense, which represent the prayers that are rising from the earth. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Following this came great acts of judgment on the earth, pictured by rumbles of thunder, flashes of lightning, and great earthquakes. But what is most striking is that these acts come in response to the prayers of the saints on earth. Here we see all of heaven coming to a standstill. The endless songs and praises of heavenly hosts suddenly stop. Why? Because someone on earth is praying. All of heaven stops for the prayers of the saints, your prayers and my prayers, every one of them can rise up before God. They are heard. They do matter. Prayers of real human beings, your prayers and my prayers, interrupt heaven. Moses prayed when he came down from the mount with the tablets engraved with the Ten Commandments. God had determined to destroy Israel for their sin. Moses prayed, God stayed his hand, and Israel was saved. David prayed, and his prayers stayed the hand of the angel of death. We pray, and God answers. Some say that prayer is just a means of moving us nearer to God. I've often been taught that. It just moves you nearer to God. It makes you closer to God. But what God has ordained will still happen. We can't change it. I tell you, we can. And God says we can over and over again in his word. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective in James 5. Jesus himself says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. 1 John 14:14. He assures us that our Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask him in Matthew 7:11. It is time that we believe this, that I believe this. We had waited for months for this general surgeon who was going to replace me to come. And no visa. Finally, she got discouraged and decided to take a trip to Egypt and went up there. And then she prayed some more and still felt the leading to come to Zimbabwe. I knew all along that she was supposed to be in Zimbabwe. So finally, I said, God, I'm going to pray a specific prayer, and I want you to answer it. And I prayed, and I asked for the very next week for the visa to come. And I prayed, and it came the very next week. God does hear our prayers. He was just waiting for me to pray, I think, to get that visa. And he did answer that prayer, specifically that prayer. And Stacy arrived at Karanda in time to cover for my furlough. That's just happens, just by chance. I don't believe in coincidence. What is Christ doing for us? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, and indeed intercedes, prays for us. I cannot believe Jesus Christ is wasting his time up in heaven praying for us. Prayer does change the hand of God. It matters. I chose to ignore all the scripture to the contrary, but I have learned that God does answer prayer. I believe that He does directly answer the prayers of believers. I believe that our prayers do stop the activity in heaven. My question is, do you all believe that? I ask you to... I ask you today to join us in our work in Zimbabwe. God has called us to do our work there, and I ask you to commit to praying for us. I ask that you believe His word about prayer. We don't understand God, nor should we even try to understand God, but we should do what He asks us to do. And one of these things is to pray. He asks that you make a commitment to serve Him. This is not just on Sundays, but in through your entire life. God does hear our prayers. Our prayers do interrupt the activities of heaven, and our prayers do change things. It can even change God's actions. And Christ, even now, is praying for you and I. I have learned that if we are going to succeed as missionaries, we need people who are committed to the long term, who are committed to upholding us in prayer for the long term. I believe that God, that everyone here in this room can have a unique impact on the ministry of us, Dan and Julie Stevens, and Crown Mission Hospital in Zimbabwe. You can come, you can support us, but most of all, you can pray for us. Your prayers are heard and acted on by God. In closing, I want to read a prayer by Louis Giglio. Let's pray. Father, I am here waiting for you. My heart and hands are open to your purposes and plans for my life. Give me the patience I so desperately need and lead me in my waiting. I believe you are moving on my behalf right this minute, protecting, defending, preparing, and providing. And give me the grace to keep trusting in you in the face of the gale force winds of doubt that are blowing all around me. Anchor my hope, my heart in you. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in power, working wonders? You stretched out your hand, and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, world without end, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.